Delaware State of the Arts. I'm Andy Truscott. My guest today is T. Bell, an emerging fellow in visual arts painting who lives in Wyoming, Delaware. T, thank you so much for joining me today. And as we kick off here, I wonder if you could share how your art has evolved over time from when you first started your craft to where it is currently.
I grew up around art. My dad was a commercial artist and did a lot of oil trucks and signs on billboards and that type of artwork. But he kind of encouraged me and my two brothers to basically just get an education. He knew it was hard work. He did this every day for a living. And he wanted us to be able to live a simpler life. He said, if you want to do this, great, but I encourage you to think about doing something else. So, you know, I always liked drawing. I took mechanical drawing in high school. I liked it. I loved to make cartoons, doodle stuff, but I never really painted very much. I was in business for a while, sold insurance for about 34 years and was financial planning and gift planning and that kind of stuff. But when I got closer to retirement, I found time to take some classes. I was working at Delaware State University, and they allow you to take an art class. So I was taking a few classes under Dr. Tucci, my art instructor, and just trying to learn some of the basics. Got into painting from the type of work that I was doing. Just found it to be a very good stress reliever. So
you had mentioned, right, that you had a previous career for 35 years, and those that might be listening to you might go, oh, he sounds like a sprung 20-year-old. But no, this is kind of your retirement passion, right? Something that gives you joy, but in, you know, this stage of life now has evolved into more of maybe a passion instead of a hobby. Would that be a fair assessment?
That would be fair. You know, I like the idea of being able to just draw whatever I like or paint whatever I like. I wasn't doing commission paintings for anyone. If I saw a photo that I took or something that caught my eye, I would try to draw it or paint it. I wasn't on a time schedule. I was retired. And so, you know, my goal was to retire, get out of debt, and play my guitar and practice my piano and paint. And just happened that paint has taken up most of my time, which I enjoy. Good. So I paint a little bit every day.
As you think back on the breadth of artwork that you've created, do you find there's a golden thread throughout them or a message that you hope to convey through your art?
Right now, my primary style would be creative portraiture. You know, I kind of take a look at different individuals, like disadvantaged or forgotten individuals, try to take a little closer look at their struggle. These people are very seldom seen or heard. You know, they do deserve our respect. When I grew up, my dad, besides being a painter, he was also a photographer, and he had all the people that we'd probably call homeless now. Back then, we didn't call them that, but he would take photographs of them because people would forget they ever existed in the town. And so, you know, I find those photographs now to be, when I look at the wrinkles in their face or their eyes and their hair and just, you know, you could see it in their face. And that kind of moves you because there are people out there struggling, maybe not you or me, but there are a lot of people that are out there struggling sometimes in our own families. And I think people relate to that. So, you know, besides that, the historical context of being an African-American painter, there's so much history that has not been told. And sometimes a picture's worth 1,000 words. So if I can do that in a painting and it starts a conversation and they say, well, who is this person? Then that, you know, I've achieved my goal.
Do you find that your paintings are influenced by or representational of actual people and actual events? Or do you find that it's more impressionist or just a representation of something that you believe is out there?
I think it's a little bit of both. I did a painting which I sold recently. It went back to the 1950s when they had busing to the South and they had boycotts and whatnot. But I just took a a figure of a man's face that was striking to me and just made him a blue collar person. And I remember the signs from back in the 60s, especially just before Martin Luther King went to Memphis, and the trash and custodial people there had signs that said, "I am a man." And so, it kind of takes you back, the more that you've seen, kind of the past re repeats itself. And so it's a time where a lot of stuff that we thought went away is not going away. And we have to remind people that we've been down this road before, and we have a chance to do something about it.
You had mentioned your father as a commercial artist. How do you feel like his work or his career influenced the work that you're putting out there now? I know you had mentioned, right, that his photography has stuck with you.
My father was a big influence on me, number one, as a father. He was just a great person. He was a very black and white guy. He was right and wrong. There was no in between. He gave us a great opportunity to grow up. He made sure that we did what we needed to do to be good citizens in our community. Him and my mother had us involved in everything, scouts and 4-H club and little league and band. And, we were involved in everything all the time, even though I grew up in a little town. I grew up in a little town in Greenwood, Delaware. But I was always busy. The people were nice to us. I have many friends that I grew up with there. But they just did an article on my dad at the Del in the Delaware State News for Black History Month. And I wanted to make sure the information I gave them was correct. And I was just kind of overwhelmed at all of the work that he had done. I mean, he was my dad. I saw him every day. He worked every day. But I think the big thing for me was that he did this for a living, and he wanted to make sure that everything was perfection. I don't know if I could do this for a living. I don't know if I could, I'm one of those people, I paint if I feel like I'm in the mood. I don't know if I could get up every day and go out in the cold and make a sign and sand an oil truck and that type of thing. But I think the thing that stuck with me is, number one, do your best. Don't quit. Think about what you're doing and think about how this will affect other people. I'm not looking to, in my paintings, to put down anyone else. I'm just trying to get people to think about what they're looking at and ask questions.
Do you find that you have any favorite artists or favorite influences out there that you try to emulate or that you think have really informed some of your artistic practice?
Sure. I have there's some local artists that I like John Donato was down at Freeman, one of my favorite artists. He's a great artist and kind of a cartoonist. I've had a chance to meet him and do some of work with some of his work. Dr. Tucci, of course, my teacher. I like people like Andrew Wyeth and N.C. Wyeth. Loved their Rip Van Winkle and their Last of the Mohicans and their Robinson Crusoe paintings. I like Howard Pyle, the mermaid that he painted, and his pirate ship attacks. I think he's just a big influence. Michelangelo, of course, with David. I got to go to Italy a few years ago, and his work in the Sistine Chapel and his sculptures. And of course, Winslow Homer, his paintings, Basket of Clams and Turtle Pond and some other work. So just, I think the thing that amazes me besides the people I mentioned is there are just so many talented people and artists that are out there that nobody knows anything about that I run across. And I just say, your work is amazing. I never heard of them, but it's just, I'm always fascinated at other artists' work and the ideas that they have and their styles. So I'm learning all the time.
As you think about your journey in as an artist, right? Do you think there have been any challenges or obstacles that you faced, and how do you feel you've overcome them?
When I started painting, I think Fortunately for me, I was in a class of students. So there weren't this big expectation of, other than me being older than them, because most of them were kids. And I'm a person working there that just took a class, but it gave me the opportunity to take a look at their art, take a look at my art, and kind of be in a somewhat competitive situation and also sharing situation. Once you step out and put your art into an exhibit like Missipillion or Dover Art League, then you've got people at every level that are exhibiting art. And you had, I had to tell myself, you have to say, is my art good enough to be out here? And you have to believe that what you're painting is good enough to be put out there. And so I just said, let me put it out there and we'll see what happens. And over a period of time, I started getting comments about, we really like your art. And then I started winning some awards. And they started making posters and put them in the gallery and whatnot. And I said, well, maybe I, my teacher's saying to me, Dr. Tucci, is keep painting, and the wilder the better. So I had to worry about, was it too crazy or whatever. I paint what I like and not worry about the rest.
I want to take a minute here just to remind our listeners that you're tuned in to News Radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV for Delaware State of the Arts. T, tell me a little bit about some of the most rewarding aspects of being an artist for you.
I think some of the most rewarding aspects for me are some of the people that I meet. People who aren't necessarily artists that come up to me, the people I've known for years that, like, oh, I didn't know you painted. I painted a picture of maybe their uncle or something, and they see it and they're like, wow, this looks just like him, So I think that's rewarding. Also, people that I know are professional artists that give me good compliments or comments on my work. And it's like playing tennis or any sport. I think if you play with people at the same level as you, you're not going to get any better. So you have to be prepared to try to learn and accept constructive criticism about your art so that you can grow. But most of the people are very kind. I've had people that say, when I started painting, I always painted what I like, and I like cars and airplanes. So I always painted cars and planes. And when I'd go into a gallery, people said, oh, yeah, that's the guy that paints the cars, or that's the guy that paints the airplane. And I said, well, you know what? I can paint more than that. So that's when I kind of changed up a little bit.
If we think back to right a typical day for you as an artist, walk us through maybe, and I know you say you do this when you feel like doing it and it's not necessarily a career, but talk to us about your span of day when you feel like painting that day.
My typical day is I'm up and have my breakfast. I put out my artwork and my canvas and my paint, and I'm working on developing being mostly portraiture, a face, and what features I want to feature in that face, and then trying to. What I call sketch paint. So I take paint and sketch where normally I used to just do it with a pencil or pen and kind of sketch that in and say, is this something I could work with? From there, then I tried to say, what's the rest of the canvas going to look like? Do I have any big open spots that need to be filled? And what am I going to use there that it's not just paint? Are they looking at something? Should they be wearing a hat? What should the hat look like? Are they going to dress in cowboy garb? Are they going to be dressed in a business suit? What are the features? Are they going to be wearing a watch, a tie, a bow tie? What is the theme? Are they a circuit rider for a church? Are they a ship captain? Are they a U.S. Cavalry officer? What do I want this to look like? And what is about this painting that's going to make it stand out to be completely different? And then also I even start to think, what is the name of the painting going to be? A lot of the paintings I named after my family, my aunts, my uncles, my brothers, my cousins, or people that I grew up with. It might be Mr. So-and-so, soldier, or American farmer. Like my American farmer painting, John Henry, is named after my grandfather, John Henry. So, and my painting, Miss Lula, is named after my aunt who lived down the street from our church. So, I try to have a little bit of history in there. I'm doing some new paintings now. I have a ship captain named Captain Seaworthy. And so I went online and I found there was a ship captain named Captain Seaworth. So there, I try to put a little bit of history. Seaworthy sound a little more catchy. But I try to put that in there. And also, each of the galleries have a theme. It might be bears, or it might be spring flowers or whatever. And before, I just painted my painting and stuck it in there. I didn't care what their theme was. So now I'm trying to be a little bit more focused if I know show's coming up and it's something about spring or something about, whatever it happens to be. I'll try to say what can I do that would kind of fit in.
Can you tell us about a particularly meaningful project you've worked on?
One of the projects that I like to do every year is I belong to the what's called a Hub Club Rotary, which is Harrington Greenwood Felton Rotary Club, as well as the Dover Lions Club. And I do paintings and prints for them and donate them for silent auctions and so forth. Every year we decided that we wanted to raise money for students at Woodbridge High School and Lake Forest High School that are going to be graduating for scholarships. And one of the things that I like is car shows. I always go to car shows, and I decided to do car shows. So I d design a shirt every year with some type of automotive theme, a car, truck, what have you. And base our we sell t-shirts, and our posters and all that are based around it. And and it's been successful in allowing us to do 3 to 4 scholarships every year. And that's our biggest fun. It's become our biggest fundraiser. So that I'm really happy for. And just the kids that we meet are so intelligent. I'm just blown away at their potential and what they're going to bring to all of us.
I know you had mentioned as we were chatting before this that you've got two upcoming shows coming up. And I wonder if you
Yes.
could share with our listeners where they might be able to go to see some of your work.
Well, yes, I'm a member of the Miss Pillion Art League in Milford, and they kind of gave me my start as far as being able to show my work to people that are really great. They have a show called Spring Inspiration that's coming up on March the 21st, and so I'll have some of my new work there, and it's normally in there about 3 weeks to a month. And also, for the first time, I'll be exhibiting in Ocean View, Delaware at the Artisans Fair. This will be the Memorial Day weekend on Saturday, May the 27th. I'll be down there in the Lord Baltimore School. And so I'm excited about that. It's a new venture for me.
T, as we're wrapping up here, I wonder if you could share with us maybe what is your favorite upcoming piece that you're working on and why it's so intriguing or important to you?
My favorite upcoming piece is a piece that I'm working on. I'm just finishing it up this weekend, and it's called Dreaming. And I think everybody should have the opportunity to dream without limitation. And hopefully, people know that their dreams come true. I see so many people that are depressed, and the things that are going on with young people. And I want to encourage them, as well as everyone else, to feel free to dream, and then to live your dream without any hesitation. And you'll find that, in a lot of times, a lot of cases, your dreams will come true. So just want to do it as an inspiring thing as we come out of winter in the spring, that people kind of open their mind, their hearts, and try to help each other.
T, thank you so much for joining me today. As he mentioned, he has two shows coming up, one at Mispillion Art League, another down at the Artisans Fair in Ocean View, Delaware. I hope you'll make your way out to see some of his work. And T, have a lovely day. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Andrew.
Delaware State of the Arts is a weekly podcast that presents interviews with arts organizations and leaders who contribute to the cultural vibrancy of communities throughout Delaware. Delaware State of the Arts is provided as a service of the Delaware Division of the Arts in partnership with News Radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV. The Delaware Division of the Arts, a branch of the Delaware Department of State, is committed to supporting the arts and cultivating creativity to enhance the quality of life in Delaware. Together with its advisory body, the Delaware State Arts Council, the division administers grants and programs that support arts programming, educate the public, increase awareness of the arts, and integrate the arts into all facets of Delaware life. To find out more about the division, visit arts.delaware.gov.